Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. Today, we're diving into the hills of Tuscany, metaphorically, of course, with a special guest who's not just an incredible storyteller, but he's also from the Lehigh Valley. J.A. Mars is the author of Ciao Amor Mio, The Tale of Gabby and Gio, an Italian Discovery, a novella that is capturing hearts across the country. We're excited to learn more about this book, which is filled with romance, self-discovery, and breathtaking imagery. And we're here with the author. J.A., thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me today.
Well, George, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, always.
Really quick, before we get into it, I want to thank our sponsors. Of course, Michael Bernadin with RE/MAX Realty, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Wind Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1, Banco Beverage Company, Lehigh Valley Health Network, and our friends at L.L. Bean. Check out their outdoor discovery programs. And J.A., I want to learn a little bit more about just your history from the Lehigh Valley. You're a Lehigh Valley native. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, born and raised in Lehigh Valley, specifically in Easton, PA. Worked here initially in my career as a healthcare marketing exec. For 30 plus years, but left the area back in the late 80s and worked at various different health systems in different parts of the country, but then had an opportunity to come back home to work at Lehigh Valley Health Network. And then I sort of rode that into retirement a few years back. So I've been a healthcare marketer, a communicator, a storyteller, a wordsmith, a copywriter, however you want to call it, pretty much my whole career.
Sure. I think, you know, people tend to think of some of these marketing guys as, you know, it's all professional all the time, but beyond the advertising and all that, you know, I'm sure, you know, you always had a passion underlying. Is that what it was? You always just had like a book waiting to come out?
Well, you know, I used to joke with my staff over the years, like anytime I didn't want to answer a tough question or there was a question that we couldn't answer very easily, I would always say, well, you'll have to wait and read it in my book.
Right.
So kind of jokingly said that. But, you know, in the back of my head, I always felt that there was a book in me. Always wanted to write one, similar to a lot of other people out there who say they want to write books or want to be authors. Mine was more about the story and being able to tell a story that sort of had some meaning to me. And that's what you hear in the author world so much that, you know, are you who you're writing for? Mm-hmm. Certainly you want to write for an audience, but you really write that first novel or novella for yourself.
Yeah. And I would imagine that when we're talking about the people, because I say it, you know, I would love to write a book someday. I've talked to many people, but I've talked to authors, interviewed some, and it's always interesting to me that moment you go from, I want to do it to, oh my God, I'm doing it. So what was that impetus to you where you finally sat down and started to put the book together? I mean, clearly this is about Italy. So was it throughout your travels, you know, what sparked that pen to hit paper?
Well, you know, I had the first and the last chapter of this novella in my head for a number of years. Okay. So I knew how I wanted to start it, how I wanted to end it. And I knew Italy had to be a part of it because, you know, going back to my traditions and my family and our travels, our ability to travel to Italy a few times, I always knew that I wanted to be part of the story. But I still had trouble figuring out, okay, what's sort of the substance to the story as we pull together? So I kind of went back to my experience. The three things in life, obviously, besides family, are golf, travel, and Italy. So I was able to pull all of those three areas into this novella. If that sounds kind of strange, it really isn't. It kind of flowed and it really worked together, given the timing of it. And you asked me, okay, what triggered this?
Sure.
Last year, I had some time to reflect. You know, I've been retired officially retired for several years now, doing consulting work on the side. So I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, I better start thinking about doing it now. So I finally sat down and, you know, I had full transparency. I had some personal or health issues last year, and it kind of said I had the time to sit back and begin to do this. And once I got going with it, just like other writers out there, once you get going, it just starts to flow and you build the story and you kind of work through it. So it took me about 4 or 5 months to really get the first draft completed. Sure, and then I worked with a local publisher who helped me fine tune it and publish it.
Did you have, I mean, 4 or 5 months is, I mean, not that long. I would guess in terms of from start to finish, like what was kind of your process? Were you writing every day? Did you have a schedule? Was it just when it was coming to you? How did you approach your writing, your project?
I pretty much wrote almost every day, or went back and reviewed copy that I had written the previous day or the previous week. And once I get going, you know, I just continue to go until, you know, I'm either dropping over, falling asleep, or okay, I've hit a point where now I got to think about where this story goes next, like, and then stop there. But yeah, and you know, and being able to write fiction, and I've said this, and I think I mentioned it to you, George, it's freedom personified, because fiction, you know, you can pretty much say anything you want in fiction. If you're using certain locations, like I did many locations in Italy, that has to be accurate and researched, of course. And I was able to do that fairly simply, to be honest with you, because I didn't get too in depth of any nuance here. I just wanted to give readers a basic flavor. If you've been to Italy, it'll trigger memories for you in this novella. If you've never traveled there, you're going to want to book a ticket and go tomorrow. Because in my opinion, there's no other place like it. You can debate that, and I'm sure people will debate that.
Right, of course. Long.
But personally, between the countryside and the culture and the traditions of going back, to me, it reminded me and brought me back to my childhood and grandparents. And I sort of referenced some of that in this novella, kind of pull those pieces into it.
And I mean, the romance, you know, all sorts of stuff in there. What did you have any sort of, besides the Italian landscape, was there any sort of personal attachment to this? Was it a story that, I don't know, like where did you kind of originally, I guess, begin to think of these characters?
Well, you know, I'll say that any association between the main character, Joe, and myself is strictly coincidental, but he's a wanderlust travel writer who, after graduating from college in the United States, bought a one-way ticket to Europe and basically stayed and traveled and wandered and did his thing. He was also a part-time golf hustler, so he was able to do that while he's traveling and living throughout Europe. I also wanted him to be a little bit of a bad boy, because that's the lifestyle he chose. You know, he wants to be independent. He wants to be a rogue. He wants to be able to go and experience and bring those stories to life. But he ends up meeting, by accident, the beautiful owner of an agriturismo in Tuscany by the name of Gabriella Rossetti.
And all the best laid plans of freedom go out the window.
Right. And it's an exploration then of their romance, but it's also more about self-discovery, I think, for both of them.
Sure.
Because she has a past as well. And so does he, of course. But they kind of come together and have this experience and this journey throughout the novella.
the golf hustling. I'm sure that it's the, like, just when you said it, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I can understand where this is going. That alone would make me want to read it. Like, I like that style. Like, you know, what are they doing out there? People hustling. I love it.
Yeah. And his best friend turns out to be a guy by the name of Franco, who is a professional golfer on the DP World Tour. So he plays in Europe most of the time, and Franco and him get together on occasion when they're in the same area. And, you know, it's really a tight friendship. And and in many ways, Franco is sort of the solid force behind Gio's vagabond ways. So the two of them kind of play together.
Stay right there. We got a couple commercials. We'll be right back.
Lehigh Valley Health Network is now proudly part of Jefferson Health, and together we're bringing you more hospitals and outpatient locations for added convenience, more nationally ranked specialists for expert care, more clinical trials, and more innovation to improve outcomes. We're investing in your well-being and building healthier communities because more expertise and convenient care means better outcomes and a healthier you. Jefferson Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network, together for the future of care.
Looking for your next adventure? Come explore the great outdoors with L.L. Bean's Outdoor Discovery Programs at Nockamixon State Park in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Whether you're brand new or building your skills, you've got something for everyone. Kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, archery, fly casting, and more. Our expert guides make it easy and fun because we believe the outdoors is for everyone. Sign up at llbeanoutdoors.com today to get more outdoors.
A big thank you to our sponsors, Michael Bernadin with RE/MAX Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Benko Beverage Company, Wind Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1 FM, and of course our friends at Lehigh Valley Health Network. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring these episodes to you. When you're writing, like sometimes I do this, did you ever like kind of envision the movie as you're writing it? I'm sure that's like part and parcel with it. Because like I was thinking of like the golf hustler stuff, like that would be a lot of fun.
I also think about, okay, what actors and actresses will play some of the parts?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had that figured. I haven't.
Yeah, well, who would be? I'm just curious. What would be your picks?
I'm still debating on Gio. There are a couple of when they were younger actors. There's a guy by the name of his last name is Rossi.
Okay.
He kind of fit in my mind. His look fit a younger him. Look just like Joe would look. And then for Gabby, I really believe a dark-haired, now her name's slipping, but let's get back. We'll get back to that. I got it. Hopefully you'll be able to edit this, George. My pick for Gabby would be a dark-haired Emily Blunt.
Oh, sure. All right. Yeah.
Who is stunning in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And the best one is Gabby's mother, Antoinette, who's the quintessential Italian mama. I think the perfect age now is Marissa Tomei.
All right, sure.
Playing Antoinette. That would be my selection there. For Franco, just a tall stud of a golfer is how I picture that guy. So it's kind of fun. And there are characters on the Agriturismo who kind of work with the team that who could fit in and with all of that. So,
I mean, you never know with so many streaming things and you know what I mean? Like they're putting movies out all the time. So hopefully someone can pick it up. It'd be great.
I didn't want to be cliche in the whole romantic piece. So there's a little twists and turns in this that certainly I don't think would be a hallmark, piece, although you never know. they could want to change the ending of something like that. But anyway, again, I wrote it because this was a story that had meaning, something I wanted to do. The locations were, you know, from memory and some of the experiences that we have had, my wife and I have had in traveling to Italy. So
that was the when you're reading those descriptions, you're really truly reading what you experienced, you know, while you were there.
And the small town and the traditions of the small towns are so much better than going to the big cities in Italy, because you get into the authenticity of the locals, the osterias and the trattorias. They are all homemade food. I mean, it's just special. Something that, you know, we miss a lot these days in this fast-paced environment we live in now.
Sure.
We just miss a lot of those traditions. So you get to go back, and that's the beauty of it. You really do.
And that's amazing to hear. We're hearing about Italy. You mentioned you had a local publisher. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the Lehigh Valley? I mean, clearly you're being published with a local publisher, but like the Lehigh Valley in general, has that had an influence or on your writing or this book?
Yeah, you know, I think it's my grounding. I mean, years ago, I did some reporting for the Express Times.
Sure.
Back in the day, covered the running beat back then, because I was into running, and really was able to build a portfolio there and really understand the writing process on not only on deadlines, but to be able to build a story from start to finish, tell a story from start to finish. So I think a lot of that was part of my background. Plus, when I was in high school and college, I would prefer an essay exam over a multiple guess exam any day of the week.
You do, yeah.
I can put words together, but if you're going to ask me to guess A, B, C, D, all of the above, oh my gosh, you know, get me out of here. So being able to write was something, or being able to put words together, I should say, was always something I could do.
And I'm sure there are many, we started off by talking about people who always say, I want to write a book, or they have it in you. And, what would you say to anybody, whether they just retired or, you know, they're younger and they're thinking about writing a book? Is there anything that you could say that could maybe help them to at least get moving?
I'd say first of all, it's a process. You just can't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write a book. Right. You know, you have to, it's like in anything, you have to have your goal and your strategy up there first before you start putting words and tactics.
You said you had the front and you had the last chapter, right, the first chapter written. And I mean, that's a way to do it, you know?
Right. But I would always encourage people, you know, you experience life every day. You experience things in life, right? You can, you know, if you're writing fiction, like I said, you can come up with almost anything. The scientific romanticy that's out there now is kind of bizarre. But, you know, it's a genre that people gravitate to because, you know, make up what you feel you can make up and research what you need to research. And you can pull together a fiction and you can pull together a novella. It doesn't have to be, you know, a 40,000 word novel.
Sure.
I go back to some examples that I heard. I heard one that Stephen King, remember the movie Carrie or the book Carrie?
Absolutely.
Well, it was originally a novella that he threw in the trash.
Mm-hmm. And did his wife pick it up? Yeah.
His wife picked it up, pulled it out of the trash and said, work on this some more. Mm-hmm. Boom. You know, and it turned into be a kind of a cult movie, blockbuster in some respects. So you just, to your point earlier, you just never know, right?
Right.
You write for the experience you want to share. And hopefully, you know, people are interested in it and want to read more about it. I've had some great feedback so far about people, and they're pressuring me to write another one. Okay, when's the next one coming? So you won't believe this, George. I started writing a sequel.
why not? No time like the blood present, right?
Right. And I started that several weeks ago now, and I've got about 8 chapters drafted. Now I'm letting it sit right now because I've got to figure out where it's going to go.
Sure.
But it carries forward the story that was built in the first.
I would imagine too, like going through this process and then kind of getting through it. Yeah, I'm speaking for myself, but I'd be like, wow, I did it. I could do that again. So yeah, having a sequel come out, so to speak.
I don't know if I can do it again. I didn't know if I could do it.
Well, we're starting. We're 8 chapters in.
Right. But yeah, you're right. You know, we lose sight of the fact that, okay, we actually did this, mm-hmm. published it, and it's out there for sale. You know, that's
right.
We kind of lose perspective sometimes because it's always a process and you're always looking to build traction, you know, mm-hmm. with your book.
And you just said it's out there for sale, which it is. Where do you recommend people to purchase it? I saw it on Amazon.
Right now it's on Amazon. It's available also at all retail outlets. So you'll find it is in some small bookstores. You also find it available at Barnes and Noble.
All right.
Yeah. And I'm also getting ready. This is kind of the teaser here. I'm getting ready to turn it into an ebook and make it available on Kindle. So that'll be out soon. So there are a lot of readers out there. Obviously, there's a market for those who read only on Kindle and not paperback. So we're going to make that available as well very soon.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. Yeah, it's funny. I'm a pretty avid reader, and it's sometimes I'll read on a Kindle depending what it is, and sometimes I need to have the paper in my hand. I don't know. I guess
I'm a traditionalist.
I prefer the book in hand.
I like to hold the book in my hand.
It's good. So, well, it's amazing. Congratulations to you for having a book to put in everybody's hands. And we're looking forward to reading it. So, J.A. Mars, thank you for spending some time with me today. We're going to leave the link to his book, Ciao Amor Mio, The Tale of Gabby and Gio in Italian Discovery. We have the link to purchase that in the show notes. You can search for it on Amazon. Search for J.A. Mars as well, and you can find his author page on Amazon. And yeah, we're looking forward to more stuff. So this is fantastic, and your inspiration to local authors as well.
Well, you're very kind, George, and I appreciate the time to be able to talk to you about the book. So it's very personal, and you know, hopefully others will enjoy it as well.
A big thank you to our sponsors, Michael Bernadin with RE/MAX Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Benko Beverage Company, Wind Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1 FM, and of course our friends at Lehigh Valley Health Network. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring these episodes to you.